right, good morning. Amen. We're in 1 Kings chapter 10, probably one of the most famous episodes in Solomon's life, a visit from the Queen of Sheba. And there's been all kinds of myths and stuff about the occasion, but what we have is really here in the scriptures. You don't have this fantasy about the Queen of Sheba falling in love with Solomon and stuff. You don't have any of that in the scriptures. I'm closing. All right. The question comes in. I find this intriguing. I understand that sometimes we go overboard with what the scriptures don't say. And so we can't do a lot of speculation here, but I find a great contrast between what the Queen of Sheba says and what Solomon doesn't say. What is the source of all wisdom? Yeah, all right, it's the Lord. The Lord's the source of all wisdom. And if we take credit for anything, then we're actually denying the glory of the Lord. You know, that's why when Moses said, "Shall we bring water out of this rock?" he was actually trying to share in God's glory. Because I don't think any of us can actually bring water out of a rock, no matter how much you squeeze it. And so God's the source of all power. Matter of fact, God is the source of our life, right? I mean, you couldn't even live without the permission of the Lord. So here we have this episode in Solomon's life, 1 Kings chapter 10. It says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered her all her questions. There was nothing so difficult that the king, for the king, that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearer, and in his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are your men and happy are your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, set in you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you a king to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such an abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, and also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has there been seen even to this day. Now King Solomon gave Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what the king had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now this is quite a visit. The fame of Solomon spread far and wide. It reached the Queen of Sheba in southern Arabia. Now we're talking about over 1,000 miles away. I mean, this is not thing, and there's a lot of desert and sand between her and Jerusalem. And so the fame has spread a long, long way. So she's, as I said, she's 1,000 miles away. She probably heard the tales because her country in southern Arabia had ports, and she probably heard from the ships that went back and forth carrying the gold and everything else, and all the glory of Solomon and all his wisdom. Now, the scholars debate where Ophir really was. Some believe Ophir was in South Arabia, but others in India, where the source of hers and Solomon's gold was. And so there's a debate as far as most of the scholars, I think, tend to lean towards that it's in South Western India is where this is located. Now notice the two claims of fame attributed to Solomon here. First of all, his kingdom was very glorious, right? Very great, very, very opulent. She heard of just how much, matter of fact, when she was in her land, she was like, man, no one can have that kind of wealth. You know, no one can have that kind of opulence. She heard that. Second, that his wisdom was so great that it exceeded all the kings and all the princesses and all the wise men in the world, and she heard that. Now, so Solomon's glory was legendary, right? I mean, it was just, everybody heard of this, and Solomon was just like, magnified. Most legends are exaggerated. Matter of fact, I grew up on, like, the legends of Davy Crockett. Well, probably, there was some exaggeration. Remember the old song? Well, probably don't. Killed a bar when he was only 3. Now that's some 3-year-old, right? the shoulder of a musket and to kill a bear, right? And so, the bar's extinct now. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. All Disney, Same with the legend of Daniel Boone, right? You have this magnification of these great men. But his wisdom was so great. Most legends are exaggerated, but she comes and says, the legends don't even come up to reality. As a matter of fact, I think this is the only time in the history of the world we have that statement that I've heard the legends, but you're even greater than the legends. I heard about your wisdom, but your wisdom's even greater than I thought. I heard about your glory and the magnificence of your kingdom, but it's far beyond. Matter of fact, in the next chapter or the next passage, we're going to see just how incredibly opulent Solomon's kingdom was. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever read anywhere that a kingdom had so much gold that they're making common articles out of it. I mean, it's just overwhelming. And so she says, the spirit just drained of her. And so when the queen saw Solomon's palace, and saw his servants, and saw the table settings, and his majesties, and his waiters, she was absolutely in awe, just totally speechless. Now, the queen had many questions about life. And we don't have any of the questions, but I imagine she wanted to know the nature of things. Matter of fact, let me stop and say something about Queen of Sheba. This is obviously one very bright woman. Very curious, very intelligent, wanted to know a lot of things, had a lot of questions. This is probably one amazing person, this Queen of Sheba. And so she has many questions. By the way, Sheba is somewhere probably around the area of Oman or Yemen in southern Arabia, somewhere in that area. port city, these type of things. And so the queen had many questions. None of the questions were given here, but I imagine she wanted to know about the tides and the winds and the nature of how things were made and all these things, and probably a lot about philosophy and theology. She was curious about all these things. She's obviously a very intellectual person.
It could be. Hopefully not with Solomon. Solomon probably would have won that, right? Now, we say this, one of the things I've been rereading lately is, I love Walter Lord's book. He's the one that did Hiroshima. He's the one that did A Night to Remember. I was reading the one about the great years in the Boxer Rebellion. We quite often just gloss over, things. Oh, yeah, they had to hold out for 2 months. But when he describes how they had to hold out in, this little section of Peking for 2 months without any relief, everything else, then you get the picture of this. I can say that she came 1,000 miles with a large group of camels over a desert, but we can't imagine what that would be, right? I mean, we're talking about 1,000-mile camel trip, which makes our trip out to Illinois probably look very minor compared to what she went through. I don't know how long would that take? That is absolutely amazing. And she's carrying a lot of stuff. After all, she is a queen, right? And so she's carrying a lot of stuff. So this would have to be one amazing trip. Probably took a long time to put together. She wanted to go. She can't pick up the phone. She can't do a Zoom call. It's kind of interesting. Philip was interviewed by a church out in, and this is just a side note, church out in Michigan. And it's interviewed, but they got the free Zoom call. So at the end of 45 minutes, right in the middle of the interview, I said, I don't know, maybe the church is too cheap to pay for it. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting. But here, she can't do that. So she has to trap. She has all these hard questions she wants to know. And Solomon was able to answer what? Every one of them. My word. There was no question too hard for him. Not because of who Solomon is, but because the Lord had given him this wisdom. Now, the Queen of Sheba responds with many gifts, as if Solomon needed more gold, right? She brought 120 talents of gold. In today's, as I say, I looked it up, and in today's money, that's $232 million worth of gold. Now, I don't care.
Is that in a brick structure?
That's right. Well, it could be. She had to have quite an entourage to protect all that stuff, didn't she? Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about a lot of gold. It's absolutely incredible. It's $232 million in gold. Well, that's true. Maybe she can forgive the student loans. And so she's bringing this up. She brought much almagrum. Now, most... In botanological terms, we call this word actually algum. That's the word, but in the King James, it's almug. It's algum wood. Now, the scientists and the theologians debate that if this is some kind of either a juniper wood in the juniper family, or if it's from India, it's probably red sandalwood. And red sandalwood was a very rare, expensive, incredibly beautiful wood. Somewhat like cedar, but a lighter red, And it made beautiful things. I have actually, when I worked for Fuller Brush Company going through college, I actually have a hairbrush made out of sandalwood, And I still have it. It was 65th anniversary of Fuller Brush. I got it still on my dresser. But... of course, with pure borborus, I don't have to understand that. But it's probably more than likely this very expensive red sandalwood from India. And matter of fact, the largest supply of spices ever recorded. I mean, this is before McCormick, right? So she brings more spices than they've ever recorded, and it's all the way rare spices. And Queen of Sheba's reaction says, you know, the half hasn't even been told to me of your wisdom and of your glory. You know, matter of fact, she said that she did not what? She didn't believe it. I mean, no one can be that smart, right? No one can be that wise, and no one can have a kingdom that glorious. But she said when she looked at the entryway, and by the way, the entryway is described in the next passage, and they looked, and she looked at all the gold and all the apparel of his servants and heard his wisdom, and you know, I'm sure in her heart she's thinking, I bet you can't answer this, and he just gives her the answer. Well, how about this? He just gives her the answer. Matter of fact, some of those in Proverbs, which it talks about knowing where the wind comes from and the four winds and the currents and everything else, long before modern meteorology had traced all this stuff down, and long before James Cook took his famous trip and recorded some of these things. And so here we have, she sees the glory. And this is the part I want to focus on here. She glorified the Lord. She didn't glorify Solomon. I want you to notice that. We don't have a recording here that Solomon says, well, this is not from me. This is from the Lord. Praise the Lord and everything else. She does it. Now, let me ask you, was Queen of Sheba a believer? Sounds like it, doesn't it? She said that no man can have this unless the Lord blessed him, right? So she, a stranger, glorifies the Lord. And so she is one of these that pop into the biblical record, and from the outside of the covenant people that looks in and glorifies the Lord. We have that throughout Scripture. All of a sudden, who has the greatest faith? And the people coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land, did the spies or did Rahab have the greatest faith? I would think Rahab did. She just heard the story. She didn't live it. And she just, you know, our people melted in heart because we knew what it did. She believed it. Maybe this is not a fair question, but who had a greater faith, do you think, Naomi or Ruth? And Ruth seemed to act more on it, didn't she? I mean, from the outside. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us who has a greater faith, the Syrophoenician woman or his disciples. He says, whoa, I have not seen such great faith even all of Israel. The centurion or the disciples, right? I mean, so you have these people from the nations outside the covenant looking at this thing and didn't even live through it, saying, wow, this is the God of God. And so the Queen of Sheba glorifies the name and says, blessed be the Lord your God. And she directed praise where it belonged, a foreigner, right? Someone who's outside of the nation of Israel. See, godly men and women who truly love the Lord glorify God for all achievements. You know, Joseph is asked by Pharaoh, can you interpret his dream? He said, no, I can't. However, the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the creator of all things, he can do that. He can interpret it for you. When Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel, Daniel says, I can't interpret that, but let me pray overnight. Remember, he was going to kill. Matter of fact, what did Nebuchadnezzar ask? You remember? He said, I don't only want you to tell me what the dream is, but I want you to tell me what I dreamt. Oh, wait a minute. No one's ever asked that. And so Daniel comes and says, listen, let me pray about it. God will give you interpretation. He comes back, not only tells the interpretation, but also the dream itself. And so Daniel says, only God can do that. Jeremiah told Zedekiah, said, listen, this is from God. This is what God says. You know, Zedekiah wanted him to change the interpretation. He said, no, all I can do is what? Speak what the Lord tells me, okay? I'm not going to change it because I am just a representative of God. And so the men who took credit for things, instead of giving glory to God, they didn't do too well. King Saul didn't do too well. You know, Saul's victory, Saul's this, he didn't do too well. Samson didn't do too well. Now, in fact, Samson never learned because his last words were he wanted to avenge the loss of his eyes. He's still not pointing out to God. Moses did pretty well till he did what? Struck the rock twice and said, shall we bring water out of this rock? Well, no. Moses, you have nothing to do with bringing water out of a rock. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. I was listening to a CD tape of James Montgomery Boyce this morning. So I was getting ready. Obviously, he's been gone for quite a while now. And in fact, he was talking about this episode, and he said, Paul says that was an illustration of Jesus, the shepherd, being struck, but he messed up the illustration because he struck the rock twice. He was supposed to strike it once, you know, which is illustration that the shepherd was struck. He messed up the illustration. Now, Moses wouldn't know that at the time, but all Moses needed to know, he needed to obey, right? He just needed to obey. And so Korah, Dathan, Herod, didn't work too well with Herod, right? You know, none of these things worked well when they tried to take glory. Now, Solomon is not recorded as giving the Queen of Sheba lessons on how God had blessed him and the glory of God and the wisdom coming from God. It's not recorded. Now, I understand, you know, we were taught in seminary that argument from silence is a dangerous thing. But this seems to be typical throughout Solomon's life. We just don't see a lot of glorifying the Lord. Even his prayer of dedication, remember, centered around, if your people sin, you know, forgive them and everything else, rather than the glory of the Lord. So out of the mouth of strangers, you know, we have a statement about out of the mouth of babes, right? We have a statement about that. Out of the mouth of stranger, here you have the Queen of Sheba recognizing that God blessed Solomon through these great gifts, and this is a greater testimony of faith than what Solomon gave. By the way, I want to, this Queen of Sheba, as I say, is an amazing person. I want to give her some kind of kudos here. She recognized that a normal man couldn't have this, right? She recognized that this is supernatural. This is not something that Solomon is just born really gifted. Matter of fact, I've seen some very smart people who believe some very dumb things. And intelligence is not the same thing as wisdom. Matter of fact, some of the most some of the wisest people I've ever seen didn't have a whole lot of education. But they had a lot of wisdom. Do you know the Wright brothers never graduated from high school? I mean, think about that the next time you enter an airplane, right? They didn't graduate from high school. And so some of the wisdom and intelligence is two different things. Rahab gave a greater testimony than the spies, and Ruth showed more faith than what Naomi did. And the Syrophoenician woman showed more faith than the disciples. Often those from the outside of faith are quicker to recognize the hand of God than those living in the faith itself. A lot of times they can look on the outside and see, boy, God's doing something special in your life. And sometimes we don't realize that. One of the things to me was one of the most amazing narratives in the scripture is how God kept doing miracle after miracle after miracle when in the wilderness, and they still kept rebellion. And God talked about, for your lack of faith. Well, I mean, lack of faith, he's in a pillar of fire, he's in a pillar of fire. You know, he's fed them, he's given them water. I mean, how much, right? How long? And yet God in his patience stayed with them. See, we're used to seeing God work in our lives, and you can become so used to seeing God work in your life, it becomes mundane and common, that we take it for granted. So used to God providing, answering prayer, and we praise the Lord at the time, but then we forget, right? And so we need to remember that every time that we go out and God, see God working, it's a precious thing. And not only is it precious, it's personal. God is actually listening to you and responding to your prayers. And so what we do quite often is we get upset when he doesn't answer our prayers according to what we want, right? And so we're so used to God's grace in our lives that we forget to glorify him for how precious that is, right? And how glorious and how wonderful that is. The Queen of Sheba saw from the outside, wow, your God must really love you. Your God must really love Israel for all this. You know, freshness of the all of God leads to worship. Sometimes we really worship God when he does something extraordinary in our life, but we don't realize he's doing something extraordinary in our lives every single day. Every single day. And so one of the things that I remember years ago, my wife and I were young. At one point we were. And we just came back from a conference. And we was really excited and everything else. And someone told us, oh, that'll wear off. You know, we can't allow the awe of God to wear off. Right? It can't be just an event. It can't be just a passing, fleeting moment. Because, you know, life usually isn't lived on the mountaintops. It's lived in the valleys. God is just as awesome in the valleys as he is in the mountaintops. And so Solomon sends the queen away with the customary royal gifts, which I find that interesting because he's not a generous guy, but yeah, she's a queen, she gave me all this stuff, I might as well, all right guys, let's bring stuff. And then he said she gave her anything she desired. And I didn't know what she asked for, after all she brought an awful lot of camels, so you gotta fill them up and send them back, So I'm not quite sure, she brought precious stones and she brought gold and brought all this wood and spices and stuff. So whatever she asked for, he sent her away. And then she went back with renewed awe of God. Wouldn't you have loved to know how her life went from then on? But we don't. Maybe when we get to heaven, we will see her and she'll be able to enlighten us in that area. But it is a very sad thing when unbelievers glorify God for his works more than what believers do. When they see, boy, God's really working in your life and everything else, we need to be the ones to lead the praise, right? We need the ones to say, listen, we have an awesome God. And if you're keeping a journal, your praise and your prayer journal should be far longer than your prayers. He's done this and done this because we quite often take it for granted. Matter of fact, I have a testimony to share with you in the next hour from a missionary about that. So stay tuned. I think you'll enjoy that. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here, and Lord, during our discussion time here, just may your name be glorified and honored, in us and through us, Lord, and may we lead the praise before a lost and dying generation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.